Everything Fraser Coast. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, your host, and on this journey around the Fraser Coast, looking for positive stories, stories that share another light on our beautiful region and the people that live here. And I've come across a gentleman called Ken Hall. He's an author. He's a resident here in Point Vernon and has a long list of books that he has published. And he's joined me in my studio today, and I've asked him to share a bit about himself and a couple of the books that he's written. And I must admit, Ken, what next, you bastard? The title really caught my attention.
Catches everybody's attention.
It's so naughty.
Well, what happened to me in my life, it's a query I have, because I used to lay in hospital beds nearly all my life. And I'd look up at the ceiling because they would come up with some funny things they were going to do to me. And it wasn't funny for me. So I used to say, what next, you bastard? Because that's the way it was. It's like one time when I had seven doctors standing around me and they all had their fountain pen out. And I asked what part of my body would they take off so my heart could pump better. And they all drew lines on me. Different parts, take a leg off, take an arm off, things like that. So, yeah. I was only 12 at that time.
Oh, my gosh, how traumatic that would be. So let's rewind. Okay, so you were born in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Whereabouts were you born?
Brisbane, Cooperoo.
Yeah. And so I always like to find out what's the connection with the Fraser Coast and maybe what brought you here. So
my grandparents lived at Kingaroy. And when everybody retired from Kingaroy, they all came to Hervey Bay. So I got stacks of relations here, and they used to bring all the peanuts to Hervey Bay. So when we came to Hervey Bay to stay at the Esplanade or something like that, we could walk down the beach and have a handful of peanuts.
So there's a few nuts in your family?
Yes. Yeah, well, my grandfather built the first Kingaroy silo, wooden silo.
Oh, wow.
The one that burnt down, yeah.
Yeah, so you're a true blue Queenslander.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's go back to the start. I was born without any immune system. So I was supposed to die every week. I wasn't supposed to live. But I got through to the age of going to school. But then they said no school for him because he won't live. Then I got to the age of 8 and my appendix kind of burst. And I died on the operating table. So the part that allows you to read and write was taken from me. So I have never been to school since then or anything because they called me an imbecile. Yep. Because I lost that part of the brain. I couldn't do that. So, yeah, I was told many times.
Yeah, so being under 10 years old and not being able to go to school and hang out with your friends or create friendships, did that change or define you as a person?
Well, it must have done, because right behind us was a Roman Catholic school. So I used to be in bed at home and hear the kids all playing in that. And I used to call them Mickey Drippins in them days. That was their nickname. And I used to get very upset that I could not. I was left at home by myself. My mum would go to work. The doctor would call in once a day, give me tablets, and away they'd go. So I'd be left in the bed all day and hearing the kids at school, and yes, it didn't sit very nice, that.
Okay, so I've introduced you as an author.
Yes.
And now I know, I didn't know before, that you had lost the ability to read and write.
Yep.
So there's a big story in between. There's 10...
A hell of a lot of story.
Yeah,
When I started to write my story, I wrote about 25 words, and I gave my wife copy of the 25 words and I asked her to read it, and she said she couldn't because it was all googly gab. So I knew my story had to be told, because my mother even told me, your story will be told, but how would it be told? So I thought of writing it myself, but I can't spell words. So I learned that if I picked up a telephone, an exchange girl would say, can I help you, sir? So I used to ask them how to spell words.
Oh my gosh.
And then Telstra.
That's resourceful.
Yeah. And then Telstra found out about that, and they were going to take me to court because I was asking all the exchange people how to spell words. And then when they found out about me, they allowed me then to pick up the phone and answer.
That's, you're very resourceful. That's like Google. That's a comparison. That's before Google. You could have invented Google.
I'm good at it, but I never thought of it.
Okay, so you've gotten through school with, I guess, limited education?
No education.
Okay, and so this was in Kingaroy?
No, this was in Brisbane.
Oh, beg your pardon.
In Brisbane.
This was in Brisbane. And so then you find yourself as a young man, you're still alive.
Mm-hmm. At the age of 12, at the age of 11, I was in the children's ward.
Yep.
And the day I turned 12, on the 4th of January, they came and took me to the adult ward because under the law, when you're 12-year-old, you're an adult. So I had to go in with the adult people.
Yeah.
So I went into a ward with about 80 or 100 old men. And I was the only child in there. They didn't like it, but I lived in there for a year. So I nursed many as they died in my arms. And, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, no. And then that brings us to this experience where you're laying as a 12-year-old on your bed looking at the ceiling and you've got all these doctors with their fountain pens around you. I can't even comprehend how traumatic would have been. Or which limb do we chop off?
Well, they had them around my arms, my legs and everything. And there's nothing I could do. I couldn't escape. I couldn't get out of the bed and run away or anything because that's the way I was. And
Yeah. And so, okay, I don't have very good vision, but I don't think you've got amputations.
No.
So what happened?
Well, they called the family up a few times to say goodbye to me because I was supposed to die every week. I had ministers and priests sit on my bed, giving me the last rites many times. I'm still here, love. I don't know.
Wow. Thank goodness.
The first in Queensland to have cortisone. I got TB because they had TB patients beside us. And yes. I was only a 12-year-old, so I could walk around everywhere. And I used to sit with TB patients. So I got TB. So I got cortisone. So I was the first in Queensland. So whether that medication, because it was bad in the sense of cortisone, but I'm still here.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my gosh. So much development, even though you didn't have the schooling, but far out, the development that you've had through those experiences, you must have an enormous amount of empathy for other people. Did you find yourself ending up working in nursing or?
I did a lot of that in that ward. I nursed them in my arms as they died, and that was enough for me, love.
That was enough, yeah. So what happened to you as you grew up? Because now you're still.
No, they're trying to kill me off all the time. they told my wife she'd be lucky if she had about 10 years with me.
Oh, for goodness sake.
And she's had about 58 years or something. 56. Yeah. So, yeah, you just can't tell.
Yeah.
And I've got 10 stints around the heart.
10 stints.
I hold the record. And I've had a quad bypass.
You are a man full of records and firsts for all the wrong reasons.
Yes, love. And it gets to me, yeah.
Is there more to the what next, you bastard? Does it go beyond those teenage years?
Oh, it goes up to we get married. And when this book came out, it was against Harry Potter. So for 2 weeks and 3 days, I made number one.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, after it came out, wanted to know what happened afterwards. So that's why there's What Makes You Bastard Book 2.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know what happened beforehand. That's why there's What Makes You Bastard My Early Years.
Yeah.
And we're at the moment doing the fourth one because I'm still alive and how I... No, but... Well, when you put into Prince Charles and they start talking in front of you and they want to be the first to do this to you and the first to do that to you, and you end up with 10 stints, and then they tell you they can't do no more, but this gorgeous-looking blonde, about 18-year-old, she looked, said, I'll do bypass heart operation on you. So I've had the heart operation.
Yep.
I'm going to have a few tears, sorry.
Take a moment. Have you still got the immune problem now?
I can't have.
How do you stay so positive when your life is overshadowed with the professionals that you go to seek help from are the ones saying, oh, no, you've only got this much time, you've only got this much time. Mm-hmm. Do you have a really good support network around you?
Well, I think through so much of it when I was young,
yeah,
it's just like a fly landing on me. It's just, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
Half of them, they don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what they're talking about.
No, they don't. That's for sure. I try to tell my wife that the doctors don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, there's evidence because you're sitting here in front of me, and like, who would know that you've had such a journey with your health? Because
I've got to tell people.
You do?
Yeah.
Otherwise,
I'm 81 soon, and they look at me. And to think that I had ministers and priests, and my family's come up, my uncles and aunties come up to see me, especially in Ward 1A, where I was 12, to say goodbye to me. I wasn't saying goodbye.
Yeah. Okay, so let's fast track now to you've come to Hervey Bay.
Yep.
What was the pivotal moment? Why did you come to Hervey Bay?
Because my grandparents and that all lived here, and all my relations kind of lived here. And we came here as a couple one time, and we just liked Hervey Bay.
Yeah.
And
bankrupt.
We went bankrupt on a farm. And so where are we going? Hervey Bay.
Oh, so you've come off the farm.
Yeah, off a farm out miles.
Yeah. And so you've retired here in Hervey Bay?
Yeah, we lost everything.
Yeah.
And we retired to Hervey Bay. Yeah. And then the wife got a job at the hospital, so she worked there for 14 years. And I kind of wrote my story, and it wasn't easy because, as I said, I had to pick up the phone to and then IBM found out about me, and they gave me a computer I could talk to, but I can't pronounce the words.
Yep.
So we had a lot of fun with that.
Yes.
It's been a hard job.
Okay, so how many books have you written in total?
Nine.
And just to highlight this, you're not able to spell, read or write.
Is that, that's all out of the brain.
It's all in your brain.
Yeah.
And thank goodness you can talk.
Yes, I've been lost.
And you're nearly 80 and you've written 9 books. I can't read the title of that one. What does it say?
Things I Remember About Hervey Bay Held By Me, the Carrie Pine Tree.
Yes.
That's our oldest tree in the bay.
Oh, so how do you know that's the oldest tree?
The old, from my grandparents and everybody, and the Lord Mayor Kleinsmith went to cut it down. He put a fence around. If you go to the library, when you drive into the library, you come to a fig tree at the car park. Well, he put a fence around that with a sign, if anybody touches this fig tree, $2,000 fine. Well, I had to ring him up and tell him to come down to the library because I was going to show him something. And that tree, at that time, was 45 years old because I knew the farmer that planted it.
Yeah.
And I said to him, see this tree growing here, this carry pine? My grandfather reckons it's the oldest tree in the bay. Well, he didn't believe me. So he got the forest department to come down from Maryborough.
Yep.
And they told him to leave the tree alone.
Yeah.
He had drills and machinery all leaning against it and everything like that. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the oldest tree, and it tells how its family got to Hervey Bay from the middle of the desert. And then when it grew up, it saw all this change. It saw the Aborigines. There's the Aborigines words in there for every item. So
the story is written from the perspective of the carry pine tree.
A lot of people get a shock. They start the book and they say, hang on, the tree's telling the story.
How awesome is that? How did you get that idea?
Well, it's a tree. It's standing there. I didn't see all the stuff.
So you're incredibly creative, Ken.
They keep telling me.
It's okay.
But it, They call me an imbecile.
Yeah, but you're not. My gosh, you've got such achievements. And how many grandkids have you got?
10.
10 grandkids?
9 great.
Oh my gosh, 9 great grandkids. How old's the youngest? 5.
I don't think about them. I know they're there, but they don't work with my brain.
Yeah.
I know I've got grandkids, and I've got great-grandkids.
Yes.
And my wife makes them all blankets. But,
yeah. Oh, look, for the achievements you've got just here in front of me, which is only 2 of the books of the 7 that you've written.
There's one naughty book.
Oh, please tell me about the naughty book.
What's it called?
Thank goodness Jan's here. Oh, Jan, have you got it?
No, he hasn't got it.
Hang on.
The 3 short stories.
3 short stories.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And my grandkids told me children. That's the same as this one, but it's a colour one.
Oh, okay.
I turned it into a children's version.
Okay, so for all the school teachers out there, there is a children's version of the...
Carrie Pine Tree.
Now, Carrie is K-A-U-R-I?
Yeah.
Carrie?
Yeah.
But you say it is Carrie Pine Tree. And what a fabulous addition to the school library. Have any schools contacted you to put these in the library?
No.
Bundaberg
got this one.
And for the low literacy students, how inspirational, oh, you're giving me goosebumps. Inspirational you are. I can picture you talking to a group like you're talking to me.
Oh, I make them all cry.
Do you?
Yes, because they want to know about my life story. Yeah,
I just thinking about the low literacy and the students that struggle with different literacy learning.
Oh, that What Makes You Bastard book ended up in special schools, didn't it? Where the teachers could read it to the children who have trouble with
that's
reading
awesome.
And writing. Yeah,
I was hoping you'd say something like that. Yeah. So that's wonderful. And did you say that there is an audio recording, or is it just your own audio recording of that book?
I've got a person to do it, but it's done. It's in a way, you know, it's there.
So get back to the naughty book.
Oh, the naughty book.
You didn't tell me.
Well, I wrote 3 short stories. One about the Roman Catholic family back in my days, back in the 50s, about how a Roman Catholic family would give a girl or a boy to the church. They would give a boy as a priest, and he would grow up as a priest.
Yep.
Or they give the girl as a nun. That the girl and the boy had no say about it. That was their life. They were going to be a priest or a nun. But they had the same feelings as everybody else.
Hmm.
So I brought that into how he met a girl and she met a bloke. And yeah, and my grandkids, my kids said it's a bit hot.
Maybe it's a bit hot knowing that your grandfather's rewritten it.
Well,
that could be a bit awkward.
Right behind us used to be a Roman Catholic church. And at night time you used to see nuns running across the paddock, followed by a priest. So you put 2 and 2 together. That's the way it was in them days. I think it might be still the same these days, but...
Well,
that's what I grew up... Because I was never allowed to go out, so I stayed home all the time. I was in the bedroom, and the doctor would... Mum would go to work, the brothers would go to work or school, so I was just there all by myself.
And for the kids that listen to this podcast today... You didn't have any technology to entertain you?
No.
And you weren't able to
read? I had a radio and Slim Whitman.
You had the radio. Yeah.
And Slim Whitman that played all those songs. And that's the girl who ended up helping me, Monica Mathurin. The publishers all loved the book, but who am I? I wasn't a sports person. I wasn't a star at anything. So they got her to... So when we went to the ABC, we had a good-looking girl and a, who are you?
Yeah, oh, she's stunning. I just put her under my magnifier. She's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, that's Monica.
Okay, so where can people buy your book? So I'll do a little blog and share your Facebook Facebook.
Yeah, you get them from me now because the publishers sold to America and America don't like the word bastard.
So we sort of haven't really tapped into the Fraser Coast. So I understand you moved here with losing the farm. And what year was that when you came here?
84, wasn't it? 1984. Well, Maryborough loves to keep the old stuff. Harvey Bay got rid of all the old stuff. So when we talk about things, it's not there no more. So it's very hard for people to say, well, this used to be here, when it's not there no more. Harvey Bay had a routine, get rid of it, get rid of it, get rid of it. Maryborough has kept everything. Maryborough would not sell Harvey Bay. They wanted Harvey Bay for themselves and nobody else kind of thing. So it's like where my grandfather used to live, Mary Street. It is now called Margaret Street. In the old days, you had four different post offices along the Esplanade. Yeah, it's Garnis, Pyalba, Shelley Beach and all that. Now, in each of those areas, you might have the same street. So you had the same street with four times the name.
Yep.
So it had to go to a special post office to go to that street. Otherwise, it'd go to the wrong street. So all that had to be changed. So all I can say is anything old in Harvey Bay had to go.
Yeah.
And it's not there that much.
So, yeah. Oh, fantastic. And do you have...
I don't know whether I've said that right or kind of get it out. But we used to be able to catch fish by the ton with my grandfather. We used to stand on the beach. Oh, the reef. There used to be a reef in front of Scarness, Torquay, Shelley Beach. It used to be a reef. And the trawlers, the local trawlers, couldn't get into the sand to get the whiting. So they got two motherships what come down from Cairns, and they ripped all that reef up. That reef is now growing. And people are finding it. And now the stories are turning up in the paper about how this reef. People from Victoria used to come to Harvey Bay because it was the closest reef. And it's now regrowing.
Yeah. So, was that in the 1980s that got ripped up?
No. 1960s, 50s, late 50s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember coming up here and going on the, I'm sure it was a glass bottom boat.
That's going out towards... little island.
Woody.
And yeah. There were turtles and there were oysters.
Mm.
And we watched them bringing up the oysters and I'm sure that we were feeding turtles and that sort of stuff. I can remember it as a kid.
Yeah, that's not along the foreshore. Oh, another thing too, you got me, so you can keep it. We used to have the turtles or tortoise come up on the beach and lay their eggs. And when they did, the Aborigines used to run along the beach, see their tracks, and dig up the eggs. You get one every now and then will come back to the bay and lay its eggs along the foreshore. But as soon as the tracks are seen, they dig the eggs up and take them up to Bundaberg.
Oh, so those turtles originated here in Harvey Bay.
A lot of them originated in Harvey Bay. The eggs were laid here, but the hutch hatched.
At least up at Monrepo there's a bit of conservation and they'll be protected.
Protected.
I would hate to think that they came up on the dog beach here or where tourists are. And even though you were just inquisitive, we would damage the eggs and damage the turtles.
Yeah, it's all changed now.
So
they used to come to the Harvey Bay. Yeah, it was quite common to see quite a few of them. Southern right whale used to come to the bay. And if you go on the ships now or the boats, they say no, southern right whales didn't come to the bay, but they did.
They used to.
Yeah, and they used to clean themselves on the end of the pier when the pier was the full length and the ships were out there. You see the ships rocking, those are whales rubbing themselves on the ships.
Oh wow! Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who would have thought?
It's all changed now. It's not.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love telling people about Harvey Bay, the way it was, and how the Victorians would not go past Harvey Bay. But when they got to Maryborough, if they were new and they got to Maryborough, Berriburra people would say, don't go to Harvey Bay, there's nothing down there. Even people from, we met a couple from Sydney. They used to go to Bundaberg every year with their father. And every time they got to Berriburra, they used to say, let's go down and see what Harvey Bay's like. And they'd ask the person at the garage and they said, nothing down at Harvey Bay. And one year after their father died, they were going to go up to Bundaberg. They got to Berriburra and the family decided to come to Harvey Bay. They came down, they rang Sydney up to say sell their house and everything. They'd never left.
Is that right? Well, that mentality, that's not just Berriburra, Harvey Bay. I've lived in other parts of Australia. Like, for example, I've lived down near Taree and at Blackhead Beach near Foster and was a local's little paradise. And you wouldn't, there was no signage on the highway, the Pacific Highway, to steer tourists there because the locals just, it was their secret paradise. So yeah, those paradises are disappearing now.
They are disappearing, yes.
But that's a cultural thing that, so that's not a negative about Berriburra or Harvey Bay Berriburra relationship. That's just a, that's just,
oh, they
a,
all get on well.
That's just a East Coast or even an Australian thing.
Yeah.
She's probably even, I think if you went to Canada or America or something,
oh, you'd say,
that'd all be the same.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah, you don't go down there. It's awful. Yeah. Oh, Ken. Hey, it's been really wonderful chatting with you. And there's so much information. I'm looking forward to having a listen to your book. I won't be able to, I think, read through it myself with my eyes, but I'd definitely like to listen to it. And is there anything else that you'd like to add before we finish up?
Well, the fellow who did the CD, Cooperoo is Cooperoo, but he didn't pronounce it as Cooperoo. He has no idea. He said something real strange. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Where did he come from?
Sydney.
Oh, he's Australian?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But he don't say Cooperoo because the dubs in those in Cooperoo says Cooperoo. The dubs, their call is Cooperoo. Cooperoo.
Okay, I've got to ask now. Is Cooperoo named after a bird?
Yeah, a dove.
There you go. I never knew that.
A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, my gosh. Let me just scratch away at your brain a bit more. What else do you know?
I've got a brain that keeps things.
Yeah.
But not on short term.
Yeah.
You ask me tomorrow if I met you, I must probably say no. But in 3 years' time, I'll tell you nearly everything we said.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those brains.
Yeah. So you're coming up to your, did you say your 81st?
81, yeah.
81st birthday. So congratulations for your birthday coming up.
Yeah.
And
that's hard to get to, you know.
Yeah. And how many years married?
56.
Oh, wow. That's massive. What a great role model you both are for your family.
Oh, the trouble we have.
Oh, I could just imagine your grandchildren saying, I just want to be like granddad and grandma.
Yeah, they get on real good with them all.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
that's gorgeous.
Years, book two and this one. This is the best one to start with.
Yeah.
It catches them all.
Yeah.
And it still sells. We just sent him anyway.
20
to Longreach. The Hall of Fame up there, they can't keep up with it. And I get people from America that travel to Longreach and they see the book and they bought it. Next minute they're knocking on my door. It's in London. It's in the Westminster. It's in many libraries around the world. Yeah.
I think maybe a few doctors should read it.
Oh, don't worry. A few doctors have read it and they're very frightened because every doctor that has told me that I'm going to pass on have all passed on and they don't want to be the doctor that says.
Is that true?
Yeah. My doctor has read the book and he knows. And he keeps saying to me, all the doctors have died before you.
Well, I think we'll leave it on that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ken. Thank you, Jan, for joining us. And I can't wait to share your story, just a little snippet you've given me. And share your books, and I wish you really all the best, and I hope I run into you because you're only down the road.
Kind of. Yeah, we took a while to find your place.
Yeah, yeah. Not physically run into you, you know, but yeah. Yeah, if you see me, grab me.
If I see you grab me, I'll be saying, who's that?
Yeah. Thanks very much, Ken.
That's okay. All the best to RV Bay. Ba-da-ba-da. Da 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 da